This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call here on your Friday. Coming up this hour, we're going to go through the NFL schedule. Early games, late afternoon games, Sunday night game, Monday night game. We're going to preview them, tell you what to watch out for. Maybe games you can skip because they're going to be terrible, like last night. Or games are going to be really, really good. There's a couple of them on the schedule. We'll go through that. Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports, is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NASCAR season, as that's going to end Sunday with their race in Phoenix. They're going to be crowning a champion. I don't know if you follow NASCAR at all, but if you don't, here's how NASCAR got Americanized. Because it used to be run races, collect points. Whoever got the most points at the end was the champion. But we like winners in America. It's one of the, we celebrate people who win. So NASCAR kind of altered its playoff system a couple of years ago, where they said, look, we're going to have a playoff, and then to get into the playoff, you need to win. And then if we don't have enough winners to be in the playoff, then we'll do the points thing. So if you win, you get in. And if you win in the playoff, you advance. So sometimes you have a team that played really good during the regular season, ran really well, won a bunch of races. But if they weren't able to either win a race in the three races per round or get enough points in those rounds, they didn't get to go to the championship, much like a playoff in any sport. And that's how NASCAR sort of Americanized itself, because we as a society will take a champion that's 8 seed or 6 seed or 5 seed, because we say get to the tournament and let's see what happens. And NASCAR kind of did the same thing. We'll talk to him about that. If in case you missed it in the bevy of the Green Bay dominance last night, the NBA Players Association has now okayed the season to start December 22nd. We were talking about this yesterday, how they really wanted those Christmas games in, and now they've got them. It helps. The season starting in December, it helps the teams that have been off since March. If you didn't go to the bubble, you've had a while to sort of process where your team is going, what you're looking for, etc. But if you are a team that had to deal with the bubble, especially a team like the Lakers or Miami or a team like that, Boston, who went deep in the bubble, it's a quick turnaround from the offseason and what you're going to do in terms of how you're going to structure your contracts, who you're going to pick up in free agency, to the draft, which is on November 18th, which is coming up in like 10, 11 days. And then you've got the season starting on December 2nd with camp starting December 1st. Quick turnaround.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call here on the SportsMap Radio Network. It is time to get ready for the NFL schedule, where we sort of blitz around the league and tell you what to like and what you should be paying attention to, maybe not paying attention to. Before we do that, let me tell you about Infinite CBD, recently discovering the life-changing benefits of CBD. Even better, CBD with no THC. Great line of products from Infinite CBD, from their freezing cold point. Cold cooling creams helps manage my aching muscles. By the way, I got out of my knee brace this week. I'm really excited. I'm kind of almost back to normal. They also got tasty yet relaxing veggie gummies. Infinite CBD's line of products, 0% THC and non-intoxicating, makes it ideal for people seeking the benefits of cannabinoids without the mind-altering effects of medical marijuana. Plus, their hemp is organically grown in Colorado, and all of their products are expertly formulated by master chemists to provide all the benefits without the worry. They've got products available in CBD isolate or broad spectrum CBD oil. There is something for everybody. Check out their website, infinitecbd.com. And if you text wake up to 511-511, you're going to save 20% on your order. 511-511, text wake up. That's our show. Text wake up to 511-511. You can start improving your quality of life today. These products and statements have not been validated by Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness. Message and data rates may apply. Text stop to unsubscribe. All right, now let's get ready for the schedule that is the NFL for week number 9. Denver at Atlanta. The Broncos coming off a last-second victory over some team that Ron likes that we won't mention. Yeah. And the Atlanta Falcons are 2-6. But, here's the thing. They're 2-3. They've won 2 of 3 under interim coach Raheem Morris. That's got to count for something, right?
Maybe
got to
count for something.
Something. I don't know.
I kind of like the Falcons in this one.
Yeah, maybe I do too. It's not the greatest game on the schedule, of course.
No.
Because both of these teams are still not that good. But I don't know. I mean, someone's got to win. And Denver, let's find out if the old Broncos that everybody on Twitter was saying needs to go and Drew Locke is out of his element and whatnot. And then they loved him again. Let's see if which Bronco team shows up. How's that?
There we go.
All right. Seattle at Buffalo. Here's a good one.
Yep.
It's a couple of reasons. One, the Seahawks are rolling. Russell Wilson, 26 touchdown passes in 7 games. They're 6-1. And Buffalo has not beaten anybody really good this season at all. So this is Buffalo's chance to say, are we for real? Or are we just going to beat up teams that are kind of either like us or worse than us? And let's see if it's good enough to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's almost as if Buffalo's saying, you know, we're going to win the games that we're supposed to win.
Right. And this is going to be in Orchard Park. So they're home. I know no crowd, et cetera. But it's still a flight for the Seahawks and all that other stuff. If you're going to beat a really good team, this is when you beat them. You're coming off a victory against the Patriots. And even though it's not Tom Brady and the Patriots, they beat you 7 straight times. And you got that off your back. So now you got to play Seattle, and they're moving along. DK Metcalf is awesome. Chris Carson is going to test his injured foot today. So we'll see if the Seahawks will have him available. But this is a good one. This is probably the best matchup of the early games of the weekend.
Easily.
Easily. Chicago at Tennessee. Fool's gold Bears. Are we still buzzing about this at 5-3 now? Or have we exposed this?
If you look at it, you go, I'm going to watch this game. Look, 2 5-win teams.
Right.
No.
No.
No, you're not looking at 2 5-win teams.
One of these teams is not really a 5-win team.
It's not like the other?
Nah. Tennessee, though, look, you got Indianapolis breathing down your neck. Don't mess around here. You kind of did last week against the Bengals. Don't mess around here. This is a team you should beat them. You got to bounce back. They've lost 2 in a row. First one's okay because you came back against Pittsburgh and then missed a field goal at the end that would have tied it. You got blown out pretty much by the Bengals. Bengals really dominated that game. Don't mess around with the Bears in Nashville on Sunday. How about Baltimore and Indianapolis? We liking this one?
I like this one.
I do too. The Colts.
Well, I mean, this is like, you know, a true test for both teams because the Ravens really haven't had good success against great teams.
Yeah, right.
You know, or stronger teams, I should say. And I feel the same way about the Colts. And I think this one could be going back and forth.
I kind of like this one. The Colts are 5-2. Their defense has been really good. Phillip Rivers has been not fantastic, not Phillip River-ish, but still good enough to win some games and still good enough to put up some points, still good enough to throw 10 touchdowns this season. Ravers coming off a hard-fought loss to Pittsburgh, but still... you know, a game in which they showcase some things that they do and do well. But this is, a Colts defense. It's kind of sneaky good. They don't allow a ton of points.
Yeah.
And they might puncture enough to sort of... because
you know why it's sneaky good? I really don't know who's on the Colts defense.
That's true. Good point.
It's a good unit playing together. And we're probably going to learn more names from this group as the season goes on and on.
Is it as good as Seattle Buffalo? No. But it's between two teams that are near the tops of their division. I mean, both these are two very good second place teams right now.
I will say this, though. It's better than Titans Bears.
It's better than Titans Bears is right. Carolina at Kansas City. Chiefs at 7-1. We know about them. Here's Carolina. Carolina has struggled. They've now lost 3 in a row. They had this 3-game win streak where they looked pretty good. They went on the road, beat Los Angeles, beat the Chargers, beat the Cardinals. But here's the deal. Christian McCaffrey could be back. How effective is he? I have no idea.
He's not going to be that effective. Let's face it. Let's be real, guys.
I think this could be a rush back. Who knows? But he's been. This is the thing. Matt Rhule is optimistic. He's not showing his hand on McCaffrey. Is McCaffrey doing great in practice, enough to play? Will he be the Pro Bowler we know? I have no idea. He seems a little bit more optimistic about Russell Okung coming back than he is about Christian McCaffrey. So I don't really dig this one. I don't think the Panthers, even with McCaffrey, are good enough to hang with Kansas City.
Nah. Even if the Panthers had still a Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't say this team is good enough to hang out with Kansas City.
It's not really there. Detroit at Minnesota. This would have been okay if the Lions had Matt Stafford. Who's their backup quarterback? I don't know. Who is it? Does anybody know?
No.
I don't know. And I don't really want to know. I don't really care. Unless he does something awesome on Sunday, then I'll know who he is. But I don't want to know about him today. Matt Stafford is in the COVID-19 reserve list. And the Minnesota Vikings stink at 2-5. Both of these teams aren't that good. So if you like a little NFC North showdown, go nuts.
You know who's the backup?
Who's the backup?
Chase Daniel.
No, is he really?
I didn't know he was still in the league.
Me either. And you know what? Good for him, because he's got that Ryan Fitzpatrick thing all over
him.
He
does.
Bouncing around from team to team. I thought the Chase Daniel, last time I heard about him, he was with Jacksonville. I think that was the last time I heard about Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel is one of those players that you swear was on a team he never played for. You could be like, I remember when Chase Daniel was slinging it for New England, like he never played for the Patriots. Are you sure? Yeah, he bounced around a lot of places, but he's never played for the Patriots. Could be one of those kind of players. All right, we'll see what he can do.
This is his seventh different team.
I know.
He was actually drafted by Washington.
He was right out of Missouri, right?
And he's a Super Bowl champion.
Where did he win the Super Bowl?
I believe was that with Philly?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, sorry, with the...
No, not with Philly?
No, that was
I swear,
Saints.
Again. Okay,
when the Saints defeated the Colts.
See what you did to me?
You know, that's my fault.
You said Philly, and I immediately pictured him with Philadelphia, and now I don't even know if he played for Philadelphia.
No, he did.
Oh, he did?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Real quick, can you name the seven teams he played for? You got the list in front of you?
I got the list, yeah.
Now I'm interested, so now you got
Washington,
me.
Saints, Chiefs, Eagles... Bears, Lions. Actually, I guess six teams, but with the Saints twice.
If you play for 10 teams in the NFL, should you get, like, kitchenware and maybe a little gift basket?
You should.
Right? The league should present you with something. Like, here's a set of steak knives and some non-stick cooking ware. Just to say thanks for participating.
Thanks for
in our
playing.
League. Thanks for playing in our league as long as you have and for as many organizations as you have. All right, New York and Washington. This one stinks. But New York could have the season sweep over the football team, and that would be fun, because then we would say season sweep over the football team.
Yep. I guess watch for nostalgia reasons, because this game used to mean something.
By the way, can we, I think at some point in the next week or two, we should do a little divulge, a look into Dwayne Haskins. What happened? What went wrong? Nobody seems to want him. Like, what happened to that poor kid?
Did he make fun of Ron Rivera having cancer?
Did he?
No, I'm going to start a rumor. Because, I mean, somehow, some way, he quickly fell out of favor.
Not only did he fall out of favor, it seems like nobody in the league believes he can do anything.
No, I mean, he's relegated to the practice squad, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. They tried to trade him, and I don't think they got any interest in him.
They would rather go with a guy who almost had a peg leg.
Yeah. That's right. Then Dwayne Haskins. Now, my question is, are the Giants going to be able, they've already beaten Washington this year, but are they going to be able to close out a game in which they go, you know what? We needed to do X, Y, and Z to win it, and we did do X, Y, and Z to win it.
Can we save that conversation for another team?
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, that's true. Good
they
point.
To close out a game.
Good point. Totally forgot about that one. All right, to close out your afternoon affair, Jacksonville, early afternoon affair, Jacksonville and Houston.
Yeah, this
Hey, this is a good one. Both teams are one-win teams.
Basically, what you have here is you're going to have the Texans team is going to win. Because Doug Marrone has already came out and pretty much said that no matter what, Gardner Minshew might not be playing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew is dealing with a thumb injury. They're going with former Oregon State quarterback Jake Luton.
Is it Luton? Lutton?
Luton. 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 Luton.
Yeah.
Luton.
I don't even know what that is.
But
this was Doug Marrone pretty much said, yeah, we're going to tank for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Without actually coming out and saying we're going to tank for the rest
Please.
Of the season.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But if the Jaguars happen to win this game, I think the Texans just need to blow it all up.
You know what? Somebody ought to sit Trevor Lawrence down and go, you know what, Trevor, no matter what, you're going to a team eventually that's going to really suck.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it's not like you're going to be going off to, you know, be the heir apparent replacement for Aaron Rodgers. You're not going to Green Bay.
Yeah. You know how some quarterbacks, they get to situations because they get drafted like late in the round or maybe in the second round, they come into situations where they take over a team that's pretty decent. That's not going to be you. It's either going to be this crappy Jacksonville team or this crappy Jets team where you're just going to bang your head against a wall.
Maybe that's his plan. Maybe he just plans on keep getting COVID so he doesn't play anymore and people forget about him.
Maybe he's hoping that the 49ers stink even worse and then he goes there.
That could be, yeah.
Well, this will be a little hard because the Jets would need to win at least 5 games.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing, right?
Right.
I mean, here, you know, you look at the Texans. I mean, if the Texans are to only have one win on their record, kudos to Miami.
That's right.
And Very Miami's right. not going for a quarterback. They got
that
guy.
That's right.
But Jacksonville only has one win on the season, they'll certainly want to have that number one pick.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, we'll get to the late afternoon games plus Sunday night and Monday's game coming up next as we go through the NFL schedule. Don't forget Jeff Hammond, Fox Sports. We'll talk the NASCAR season finale as well this hour. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue along, it is Wake Up Call. We're going to go through the late afternoon games on Sunday, as well as the Sunday night game and the Monday night game. Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time, and in fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years, so they got that going for them. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, here we go with the later afternoon games in the NFL. What to watch, what not to watch. Las Vegas on the road to face the Chargers. That's the team we were talking about earlier that needs to find a way to close out a game and get a win.
Yeah.
Hear about Trent Brown of the Raiders? So this is what happened to Trent Brown. So he was in the he did not play Sunday against the Browns because he had like air in his bloodstream and a pregame IV. Remember that?
Yeah, very Tyrod Taylor-esque.
Right,
what
right.
You're hinting at.
So he was released from the hospital, joined the team Wednesday, and now he's back on the COVID-19 reserve list.
Yeah. Let's also talk about what happened to the Raiders yesterday.
Oh, yeah. They got fined $500,000.
Yep.
For some COVID protocol
break. I mean, as a team. They pretty much got fined like almost $1 million and had a draft pick taken away.
Is Gruden and the organization like, nah, COVID's not tough enough for us. We don't need these
don't
masks
know.
Or protocol.
Yeah, well, he got fined $150,000, right?
150 clams.
For
That's
repeatedly
amazing.
Not wearing a mask.
I don't need no mask because I'm so tough. COVID is scared of me, yeah, John Gruden.
This is Raider Nation.
This is Raider Nation.
COVID
don't care.
COVID don't come in a black hole.
Exactly. Can't survive the black hole. $150,000.
Nothing survives the black hole. Everyone knows that.
Listen, I know they make a lot of money, but writing a six-figure check for
God. Well, that's why somebody on Twitter was like, Mike Mayock must be really thrilled with Gruden right now.
I know, right?
Like, oh, great. You took one of my draft picks, did you?
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Thank you.
Exactly. Good for the NFL, though. These protocols have got to be in place. You can't mess around with these, and you've got to be serious about it. They're trying to get this season done.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? We just always say, it's just so simple. Just wear a mask.
Here's the thing.
Yes, it's annoying,
not,
but wear a mask.
It's not the NFL going, mask, no mask. It's the NFL saying to Gruden, look, man, we're trying to get this done. We do not need to be derailed. We do not need to cancel games because of your stupidity. So wear the stupid mask, do the protocol, because we're not canceling games, and we're not going to look stupid when we have one Sunday where three games are on the clock because all 27 teams in this league can't play because of you. Good for them. Good for the league for striking down hard on that. John Gruden.
Yep.
Love him, but my God. All right, how about Pittsburgh and Dallas? Boy, I said yesterday, I really wish Dallas was good. I would love this. I don't mind a game where I have to sweat it out and be on the edge of my seat. I'm not going to be on the edge of my seat. The Steelers are favored by 14 points.
This has a Packers-Niners feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, from like, last night, right.
On paper, beginning of the season, this game looked great. Packers-Niners, that was the NFC Championship game last year. You know, you're talking Cowboys-Steelers. This is the most storied, two of the most storied franchises in the NFL.
Three Super Bowl appearances between these two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, against each other. Against each other.
And this game is not going to resemble that at all.
And here we are, Ron. It's Friday morning, and the Cowboys don't know who the starting quarterback is going to be?
I thought it was Cooper Rush.
Is it? I mean, he hasn't announced.
Did we rush to that conclusion?
We might be, because Garrett Gilbert is still in the running.
Who is that?
I don't know who Garrett Gilbert is.
You're just making up names.
Garrett Gilbert sounds like a 70s singer that wrote a love song ballad that made it to number one on the charts in 1976. And I just looked him up. He went to SMU.
Local boy.
He's a local boy. Probably should know that.
Graduated from Lake Travis High School.
See, this is my problem. I may have remembered him when he was in college, but then he goes NFL, and I don't remember him in college. I don't remember him.
He was drafted in the sixth round of the 2014 draft.
Okay, remember how I said the Steelers have a game in which they play to their opponent and they lose in the game they should win? This is not going to be one of them.
No.
That is more like when they play Minnesota in Minnesota, where the Vikings might do some good things. You're like, oh, that's ridiculous. How do they pull that off? Or the Bengals.
Oh, what's his name up there? Who's the running back for the Vikings?
Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook, when he just went off last weekend.
Right. Right.
Yeah, that's a trap game.
That's a trap game. They might lose to the Bengals. That might be a trap game, too. But they're not losing to this team with that quarterback. They're not. They are going to cruise in this game. It's unfortunate that this is the Nance Romo game for CBS, but it is.
Is it really?
Yeah, and it's the national CBS late game. So you might get Arizona-Miami in certain markets, but you're getting Pittsburgh-Dallas everywhere else in the country on CBS.
We're not saying call your local TV stations, but
call your local provider.
You might want them to switch over to the Dolphins-Cardinals game.
Yeah, because the Dolphins and Cardinals, you've got Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa. How fun is this game going to be?
This game is going to be fun.
This game is going to be a blast.
Yeah, at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have thought that. But now that we have Tua going up against Kyler, this is what you want to see. This is going to be great.
I
can't wait.
Glendale, Arizona, Miami, and Tua, Arizona at 5-2.
But the Dolphins are 4-3, and that's right. a sneaky 4-3. Because they are a much better team than we've given them credit for all season.
And remember, Tua didn't have to do much against the Rams. The defense did a really good job, and I think special teams even contributed as well.
A lot.
He's going to have to do some stuff against Arizona. This is going to be fun. You're right. Call your local provider, because when the Steelers are up 28-3 midway through the second quarter, Miami and Arizona might be in a nail biter.
Let's say 27-6.
Yeah,
that's a better score for you, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Saints and Tampa Bay. That's the Sunday night game. It's a good one.
Yeah.
The Saints have already beaten the Bucs earlier this season. Tampa Bay rolling along after beating the Giants on Monday Night Football. They are 6-2. And by the way, Antonio Brown is now on the team.
Antonio Brown is going to play.
That's the price worth the price of admission anyway. The Saints have won 4 in a row. Little news about the Saints. Drew Brees missed practice second straight day. More of a precautionary thing than anything. He should be good to go. Questionable shoulder injury. Yeah, if you don't have a shoulder issue in your 40s, you probably aren't living right.
I have one. I'm not even an NFL quarterback.
I'm the laziest couch potato you know when I have shoulder injury. Yeah. All right? So
I slept on my arm wrong this morning. I was like, I can't lift my arm up.
I can barely get out of bed when I sleep on the wrong side. My arm's asleep. I guess I'm done for the rest of the day.
Well, that's it for your NFL games this weekend.
It is. There is no more NFL games at all. At all.
It just ends Sunday night. None. It's incredible.
Sunday night. It's incredible. There is nothing else after that date. Patriots and Jets.
Patriots and Jets.
They don't
night.
Really count. That's if a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound, right? If nobody's around. If the Patriots beat the Jets, but nobody watched it, does it make a sound? Does it count?
I wonder how they're going to spin it.
I know.
Belichick against his former team. No.
No.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. That's how you can hit the show as we head you into the weekend. And one of the things that is happening this weekend is NASCAR is going to have its season finale in Phoenix. They did like everybody else. They had to pause their sport for COVID, came back, ran some races without fans, had some races where there were a small amount of fans, but they got it in. They got all the playoff in. They are going to be in Phoenix. There's four drivers that are in contention for the championship this year, including two former champions, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, who's the son of Bill Elliott, and also, who was the other one? Oh, Joey Logano. I'm sorry, Denny Hamlin is going to be competing for the championship. So I was saying earlier, NASCAR has changed a number of things over the years, and this playoff system, while it's not a recent change, it's been around for a while, they have tweaked it enough to sort of make it interesting and compelling and sort of give it a same similar feel to other sports. You know, one of the things that I said earlier, we like to celebrate victories. We don't points to win points. It's cool, I guess, if you can accept it. But if you can get a win and have those wins matter and lead to something else other than just a collection of points, we kind of enjoy that. You know, we don't mind underdogs winning our tournaments as long as there's some sort of tournament. You know, we kind of celebrate an underdog in the NCAA basketball. We don't mind a 9 seed or a 10 seed upsetting a 1 or a 2 in that tournament. We don't mind an 8 seed running its way through the NBA finals or the NHL finals. We don't mind wild card teams winning 3 straight on the road to get to the Super Bowl because we're tournament focused. And in NASCAR, they went in this direction. It used to be run a bunch of races. Whoever had enough points, then you'd get to a race, and the driver would kind of know where he needed to finish in order to get enough points to hold off his competitor. And that's how the race used to be. Now you've got a situation where there's only 4 guys that can win this thing. Sometimes they would go to the season finale, and it would be one guy who's the focus. He would just have to either finish the race or finish 20th, and he'd win, or lead a lap and win. But now you got 4 guys, and that carries the momentum into the finale. So again, 4 guys with a chance for the championship. But this has been an interesting year for the sport. As I said, COVID playing a factor in it. We started, then we had to stop, figure it out. Remember the situation with Bubba Wallace at Talladega and the drivers rallying around him. We've had the esports that sort of kind of came into play when we were in COVID and we weren't racing. But I think most of the focus this season for NASCAR has been the postseason and running through the postseason, and a driver like Kevin Harvick, who won 9 times this year, not being in the finals because that's the way the playoff came to be. It was also the final season for Jimmy Johnson, who's a 7-time champion and is leaving at the end of this year. One of the things Ron and I have talked about is how in baseball and so NBA and other sports, you do get sort of a goodbye. But Jimmy Johnson didn't get to have that because COVID prevented the large amount of fans that would be attending races throughout the season to see him one final time, to give him a good send-off at every place that he went. And he kind of deserves that. Again, a 7-time champion, a Hall of Famer, one of the top drivers in the history of the sport. And it's kind of sad that it kind of went out that way. But that's just the way COVID hit. And that's the way, COVID has prevailed. And so we're going to try to hook up with Jeff Hammond of Fox Sports to talk about the season finale and what it means at Phoenix coming up. And it also, I just like talking. You know, we don't do a lot of the motorsports on the show. We don't do a lot of the NASCAR stuff. But it's a sport that's had sort of a lot of ups and a lot of downs over the last 2 decades. I remember when I got into it, it was really on its way up as Jeff Gordon was kind of a young kid and winning races and emerging as a superstar. There was one point that it was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. They were putting tracks everywhere. I saw it in my own home state, New Hampshire. If you had told me growing up as a kid that a NASCAR track would be in New Hampshire and it would be really popular, I wouldn't have believed it. I kind of thought it was mostly a Southern sport. Every now and then they would go race at like Sonoma or Riverside out west. But I didn't think it would work in New Hampshire. Not only it worked, it was really successful. It was one of the more popular things of the year in that state, in that region. But you also saw tracks popping up all over the place. They had one in Chicago. They had one in Kansas. So they run at Kentucky now. They ran in Las Vegas. I was at the inaugural race in Las Vegas back in 1998. It was the same kind of feeling, which is, here it is. It's Las Vegas. It's fun. It's a great track. And NASCAR is running. And they've been successful there ever since. California, the same thing. So it's a sport that is kind of gone back and forth. I think one of the things that hurts it a little bit, because I remember when I first got started and you would talk about personalities in the sport, Rusty Wallace, Dale Earnhardt, Sterling Marlin, Mark Martin, the Labonte brothers. I mean, there was Darrell Waltrip and there was some like character to them. I mean, they had a lot, there was some racing character to them. And it feels to me, and again, just looking at the way the sport is now, is that there's not a lot differentiating between the young guys. They're all kind of cut from the same mold. They're all kind of come up in the same way. And there's a little bit of that sort of racing identity that's missing. It's just a little bit of that. And I kind of wish it was back a little bit. It was big. The big Earnhardt Gordon rivalry was, Gordon was this sort of Indiana/California kid that was coming up, and Earnhardt was kind of the old guard that was hanging on. And yet, there was an on track rivalry, but they had a really good relationship off the track. Gordon is one of those athletes that I'd love to talk to eventually. I remember I've interviewed him in Victory Lane and whatnot in my early days, but I would love to talk to him now as a guy that's about ready to turn 50 and the transition that he's made in his career from being one of the most hated drivers within his sport to somebody who's pretty beloved now, because time sort of heals everything and time has a way of sort of letting us look at somebody and sort of get the complete look at what that individual did. We see this with athletes all the time. They're in the sport. We love to hate them, quote unquote. We love to root against them. But when it's all said and done, when we look back, we go, it was nothing better when that guy was doing his thing. That pitcher was on the mound, or that quarterback, that cocky quarterback was winning games, et cetera, et cetera. We do that all the time when we pull ourselves back and say, yeah, you know what? In the end, this guy had a really good career. He had an important career, and he was really, really good. I remember people booing him everywhere he went. I'll never forget, he was at Bristol one night. I think it was probably the late 90s. And he spun out and crashed. And that place, which holds about 100,000 people when it gets really going, all cheered. I mean, they went berserk, absolutely berserk as he was spinning out. He was just that kind of driver. But as he got older, as he got, more time away and you realized where, what he was accomplishing and what he was doing, it really was remarkable. I mean, it really was one of those kind of careers. I've joked about this for a while before Tiger Woods, they say Tiger Woods is, what he did for golf. Jeff Gordon was the Tiger Woods of NASCAR. Before there was Tiger Woods, it was Jeff Gordon in NASCAR, changing the sport, winning everything, taking the sport to another place, taking the sport to even deeper into boardrooms on Wall Street than other people. He was a real hot commodity that people wanted to latch onto because he was young. He was really good. He was bringing in a different kind of crowd. But then when it was all said and done, he becomes one of the greatest drivers in the history of the sport. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Again, looked like we weren't able to hook up with Jeff Hammond at Fox Sports, but maybe we can snag him for a few coming up. It's Wake Up Call.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Boss and Gloss coming up next. Air Force and Army was postponed due to COVID. You know why that's not good? It's part of the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy.
Yeah.
And the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy is between Air Force, Navy, and Army, and they sort of play each other. Obviously, Army and Navy is the big one. But whoever has the best record of the three wins the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, and if everybody ties, whoever won it last year wins the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy. So if you're Air Force, you've already beaten Navy, you want to beat Army and claim the trophy. This is a big deal. This is a big deal for the Air Force Falcons. You would try to reschedule this if you can. I think Army wants it too. Army wants to reschedule this too, because if they can beat Air Force, they've got the Army-Navy game on December 12th. They would want to win the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Fisher DeBerry was the head coach of the Air Force Falcons for like 28 years when I was there. He was there forever. And every single year we would go every week to the press conference that would talk about the next week of games. And Fisher DeBerry was a South Carolinian friend, and he coached the Air Force forever, but he would always say, beginning of the year, most important thing, Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Second, win the conference. Third, winning record. Fourth, win our bowl game.
But I heard they have a tentative date rescheduled for December 12th.
Army Air Force. Okay.
Because that won't interrupt or won't.
I thought Army Navy was the 12th.
Is Army Navy the 12th?
It might be the 5th. I don't know. I have to look it up. Maybe I've got it reversed. Maybe Army Navy is the 5th, and then Air Force Army can be the 12th, or Army Navy is the 12th, and Air Force Army can be the 5th.
You're right. Army Navy is the 12th.
Okay. So
why did I think maybe they're going to do a doubleheader because Army can do that?
Commander, well, you know what? I mean, God, hopefully there's a commander in chief in place for the commander in chief's trophy when it's all said. Well, it is going to be Trump until the election, the inauguration.
You know, just to give you all a quick update, Biden now is ahead in Pennsylvania.
Is he really?
They just announced it.
Of course he is. Oh, this is crazy. This is not going to end. I thought 2000 was awful. Remember 2000?
Yeah.
Hanging Chads.
Votes.
Pat Buchanan getting votes in West Palm Beach, of all places. It was a weird time. Yeah, so now we got. Yeah, they'll eventually call this thing, and then we'll make the transition. We'll see how the transition goes. But, hopefully COVID will is delaying, but this is really important to those service academy members. We always talk about with the Army Navy game, right? It's like more than just college football. They're moving on to things, and
it's their own thing. It's like their own conference.
Yeah, it's kind of neat because it's among the service academies, which is a different level of higher education than universities.
Hey,
it's
I
so
guess
funny.
They don't have a maybe it was the following week they were going to have. I know they had some sort of makeup date.
It's so funny. The Air Force, Army, Navy play for the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. It sounds so prestigious. And Georgia and Florida are going to be playing in a game called the Cocktail Party. That's even better. That's going to be in Jacksonville this weekend. That is not going to have a lot of fans in attendance, which makes a bet. So, all right. So you want to get Jeff Hammond on real quick? Just ask him real quick who he thinks is going to win the NASCAR series. I'll tell him he's got like 2 minutes. See, I want to get his prediction. Who he likes going into the series. So we'll see if we can snag him for a second. He was supposed to come on last segment, but we get him on for the final couple minutes of the show. So one other game we want to mention was postponed was Wisconsin and Purdue. This is the second game for Wisconsin that has been postponed this season for the Badgers, who are ranked 10th in the AP poll. You're not going to get ranked very much longer if you keep postponing games because of COVID. They got Michigan coming up next weekend. Also Northwestern Minnesota, and they got Iowa and Indiana left on their schedule. I don't know. Beating Michigan might not be a big deal, and that schedule is not really all that popping for the Badgers if they can only get, let's see, a couple of games in. Got only about 3 minutes, but I got Jeff Hammond on from Fox Sports because I wanted to get a quick preview of Sunday's finale at Phoenix. How are you, Jeff?
I'll tell you right now, we're going to see probably one of the best races all year long, if you can believe that, especially after what we saw at Martinsville with the drama and everything that went on right there at the end trying to decide who was going to go to Phoenix. I think we've got a very even field. It's hard to pick a winner right now. My fan favorite happens to be Denny Hamlin, but the Penske team, I think, is loaded for bear. And listen to their owner, Roger Penske. He feels like that one of them will wind up walking out of with a championship.
It may not be. Is there a sentimental favorite of the four drivers? Chase Elliott could join his father, Bill, as champion. You've got a champion in Keselowski, and Logano could win their second. Hamlin's got a lot of wins. Is there a sentimental favorite to win this thing?
As I say, I mean, if I got a sentimental favorite, it has to be Denny Hamlin. He's been trying for a long time, and his record right now indicates, he needs to have a championship. But, when you look at that Hendrick number nine, talk about momentum coming into a place. you got to look at Chase Elliott. Is this young man ready to take on these veterans? I mean, I think that's going to be the big challenge. Can he handle the pressure? Can he handle what's going to be facing him, which he's never had to do before, I think, at this stage, at this level? The other three do. So if there's an advantage, it goes to the guys who've been down this road before. You got two guys that have championships, one guy who deserves a championship, and you got a young man right now whose career looks like he's getting ready to explode.
I got 30 seconds. I know you can do it. Give me an assessment of Jimmy Johnson's career as it comes to an end in NASCAR.
Well, we're going to miss him, number one, because he shows a lot of what NASCAR really stands for, which is, you know, being a champion, representing your sport properly, being the kind of family man that he has been throughout his entire career. Everything about him is just, you know, I hate to use the term, but it's just all-American. It's in exactly what, you know, NASCAR really tries to represent, and that is being, you know, family and being able to go out each and every day, give it 100%, and this guy here has set records that will never be touched, in my opinion.
Jeff, thank you for joining us for just a couple of minutes to give us a preview. You do a fantastic job, and I know you've been doing it for close to 20 years as a broadcaster and your other time in the sport. You do a great job of really nailing this sport for the average viewer. Really appreciate your time, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure, Tony. Thank you. Keep up the great work, and we look forward to the next week and see who's going to wind up being number one in NASCAR.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. You got Jeff Hammond on for a couple minutes to give us a NASCAR preview. Like, always like Jeff Hammond coming on the show. Boss in the Gloss coming up next. Sports Map Radio, have a good weekend.